signed one.
Friday. Sport.
Good evening and welcome. In the next 30 minutes, everything you need for a complete weekend of sporting action ahead, and it's a stripped-down version of the show tonight, an acoustic one, shall we say. No Dave Galloway, just Andrew Shiney joining me in the studio. And Andrew, unfortunately, we'll have to look back, first of all, at that game last Friday night.
Yeah, big disappointment. Started so well and, you know, really had the opportunities to kill the game off in the first 15 or 20 minutes. We didn't, unfortunately. We got the goal from Simon Church and we thought it's only a matter of time until we add to that. But as I say, we didn't. And then self-inflicted wounds once again came back to haunt us. We didn't close Ali Mozturk down. His shot was from a long way out, and Scott Brown, I'm sure, feels he could have done better with it, but Juanma reacted quickest of everyone, stuck the ball in the back of the net. But then it's the second goal. When you look at it, there's just so many errors made there, and perhaps a wee bit of naivety from Kenny McLean. You could see what he was thinking. He'd seen Shea Logan making a run down the right-hand side, tried to pick him out with a quick free kick, probably unaware of what was happening behind his back where Graham Shinney and Ash Taylor were way out of position, and then overhit the free kick, throw-in's taken quickly, and before you know it, Jamie Walker's up the other end. From a Hearts perspective, it was a great goal, a quick piece of thinking, a really good cross by Jamie Walker, under pressure from Mark Reynolds, and a good run from Juanma, good header, 2-1. And after that, unfortunately, we didn't really look like getting an equaliser. We ended up with Andy Considine playing centre forward and putting high balls into the Hearts box. But when you're playing against a team that has got extras from Land of the Giants playing at in their back four, you're not likely to win very much in there, and that's the way it turned out. And then, of course, to compound that result for Aberdeen, Motherwell weren't able to do what we all hoped they could do and go and beat Celtic on Sunday, or Saturday rather. Conor Ripley, hero and villain, hero in the first half, keeping Celtic at bay almost single-handedly, and then, as Sod's law would dictate, lets a shot from Lee Griffiths through his legs for the winner for Celtic. So it does look as though it's extremely difficult for Aberdeen now to win the league, but we've still got the pressure of Hearts behind us waiting for any slip up. They still harbour hopes of second place, although, as I said last week, I don't think they've got much chance of that, and less chance now that they only drew nothing each up in Inverness on Tuesday night. But we've got five games where we'll look to get as many points as we can, try and get ourselves up to a record points tally and finish the season in a high, not like last year where we sort of went out with a bit of a whimper, to be honest.
Yeah, and starting off this time next week with a trip to Perth, not surprisingly, only one Saturday 3 o'clock out of the five. That's the home game against Motherwell, but three home games and still lots and lots to play for.
Absolutely. I mean, there's as we said, 15 points there. We've got second place to cement. I think last year there was possibly reason for the season drifting away the way it did, because we'd sealed second place before the split, if I remember rightly. We were about 20 points clear at that point of Inverness, who eventually finished third. So this time we've got a wee bit more pressure on us. There's players going to be coming back from injury. There are players who need to keep their form up if they want to go to the European Championships over the summer. There's still a lot at stake for the Aberdeen squad.
Yeah, the latest on the injury front, Adam Rooney does have a chance of making it for the trip to McDermott Park. Peter Pollitt may be back for the last couple of games, but that's still up in the air a wee bit at the moment. And the good news is that Ryan Jack doesn't seem to have, although there was a strain, there's nothing torn or pulled, which means that he could be back as well for next week.
Well, it's all good news, you know, particularly getting Adam back. But to be fair to Simon Church, he's done a remarkably good job filling that gap that was created when Adam picked up the injury. He's scored his goals and he just looks almost a clone of Rooney, doesn't he? the way that he scores his goals, they're all from inside the 6 yard box. It's right place at the right time, just what you want from a striker. It would be very interesting to see the two of them playing together. We did see them together last time we played St Johnston in the 4-3 game down at McDermott Park, when Adam scored a couple of goals and Simon tried to nick that one off him after Rooney making a 70 yard mazy run, which was most unlike him, and he's the first to tell you that. But to see the two of them working together, because we're creating chances. That's the thing. At Tynecastle last Friday, it wasn't a case of we didn't create anything. We created a heap of chances. We just couldn't take them. Now, had Rooney been on the pitch instead of being a BT pundit last Friday night, who knows what might have happened. But that's what football's all about, ifs, buts and maybes. But if we get Adam Rooney back on Friday night, that'll be a big lift for everyone.
Okay, you mentioned that goal down at St Johnstone. It's one of the shortlist for the goal of the season. Of course, player of the year coming up in a couple of weeks. Goal of the season, that's one for the fans. They choose what the goal is. They can vote on a club website just now. You any favourite?
Well, I assisted in getting it down to 9, I think it is, isn't we've got. My particular favourite, to be perfectly honest, is Adam Rooney's goal against Dundee early on in the season, just because it's a team goal. Every single Aberdeen player on the pitch that day had a part in that goal. We've actually had to speed up the video of it, because I think if we were to play it at normal speed, it would take about a minute and a half, because we went from Danny Ward, who was in goal at the time, out down the left, couldn't make progress there, so took it back, played it out to the right, no progress there.
And if you
again.
Actually listen as that's going on in the background, you can hear some boos, because we're not getting the ball forward quick enough.
And eventually it's Johnny Hayes goes around the outside of the fullback and puts the cross into the near post, where typically Rooney's in the right place at the right time to head past Scott Bain. So that's my personal favourite, but there's some other very, very good goals. You think of Niall McGinn's solo effort down at Tynecastle, Johnny Hayes' fantastic strike against Celtic. Tell you, Kenny McLean's goal against Hamilton Accies just a couple of weeks back.
It's
technique
not
is
bad.
Extremely
and the
good.
Flick on down the left across from Graham, it was
right.
All good.
Yeah, Peter Pollitt's header against Rijeka, that brings back memories.
Which was never offside.
Of course. No, the first one was, but the second one that counted, it brings back memories of what, for me, if we were having a vote for best performance of the year, that would win that one hands down.
Definitely.
Despite the fact we've beaten Celtic twice at Pittodrie, Rijeka away, easily the best performance from an Aberdeen side in many, many years. But the fans, they will ultimately decide who wins the goal of the season. And I believe that we're way into four figures with the number of votes already. So go on to the Aberdeen Football Club website, afc.co.uk, and you will see all the goals and have the opportunity to vote for all the goal for your goal of the season and for player of the season. And that's a difficult one as well, because there's a number of contenders for that award.
Yep, there are indeed. And of course, just a reminder that Friday Sport will be coming live from McDermott Park next week. That's 7:45 kickoff. We'll be on air, of course, as always, at 6:30. Let's move on to the Highland League now, and congratulations to Cove Rangers. They've done it.
They've done it, despite not playing a single home game all season. A fantastic performance by John Sheeran's team. They won 3-0 up in Inverness against Clark to seal the title. Neither for Martin nor Brora can top their 88 points now. And, well, it's just been a tale of success right from the word go. I think they won, what was it, the first 15 games of the season, had a little blip, but when you look at a record of played 33, won 29, drawn 1, lost 3, that's not much of a blip, was it?
Yeah, and you think out of the four times they've won the Highland League, the fact that they had no games at home, that must make it pretty special.
Oh, it will do. And the fact that they've been chased all the way by very good Brora and Fermartin teams. It's only in the last month that Cove have edged themselves in front. And it's the old story again of, you know, what do you want? Do you want games in hand or points in the bag? Brora had the points in the bag, Cove had the games in hand, but they had the wherewithal to sustain the pressure on Brora Rangers and eventually win the title. And it's very, very close in second place. Fermartin and Brora still have one game each to play. Fermartin lead because they've scored 127 goals with a goal difference of 92 to Brora's 126 goals with a goal difference of 92. So if there's a place to go for lots and lots of goals and excitement, it's the Highland League.
Absolutely. We'll take a short break, back with Peter Head and the games this weekend after these.
Friday Sports. This is North Sound 1.
Welcome back to Friday Sport. Well, it was so near yet so far for Peter Head last Sunday in the Petrofac Cup final at Tamden, going down to Rangers. Here's boss Jim McAnally.
I think at the end of the day, the scoreline was probably a bit harsh on us, but you know, I think overall the day was just a fantastic day, and it's a day it'll probably never be forgotten with a lot of people in Peterhead. So you know, it's not a normal situation where you can lose a cup final and dwell on it or whatever. It's just, it's one of these things that you, I mean, when I lost a UEFA cup final with Dundee United, it was near a cup final that I look back on and regret. You know, it's, I'm proud of that final, and this final comes into that bracket also. Between us having as many supporters supporting us, and then obviously the general crowd, for it to be so many people there at a cup final, a cup like the Challenge Cup, it just, it was pretty remarkable. And I think you've got to credit Rangers, you know, the Rangers support that they turned out in such vast numbers, you know. But all in all, that's what it made it a fantastic day, even for our supporters to turn up to a game and to see the stadium fill. I mean, if you look at this week's semi-final with Dundee United and Hibs, they'll be lucky if there's 15,000 there, you know. So, you know, I think all in all, we were lucky, and I'm sure everybody enjoyed the atmosphere and enjoyed the you know, the stadium being full, and just generally the way, I think Petrofac must take a lot of credit for the way they made it such a big final. They never scrimped on anything. They made it as they would do a Scottish Cup final, you know, with the razzmatazz and all the rest of it. It was good.
Jim McAnally there, looking back at Sunday's game, and it was just a bridge too far for them. There was an obvious gap in quality, but a great day out for most of Peterhead.
Absolutely. It's a special occasion for them, their first Senior Cup final, for the players playing at Hampden. And yeah, I mean, it was disappointing, you know, at the end of the day, that you know, they lost 4-0, but hey, we've been there, we've seen that sort of thing happen to us, and it doesn't diminish from the fact that they did extremely well to get to the final. And you know, it's onwards and upwards for Peterhead now. They've still got a lot to play for this season.
Well, they certainly have, starting off with the bid for the playoff places tomorrow afternoon when they're away to Brechin City. Here's Jim McAnally once again.
As soon as the game was finished on Sunday, I really was looking forward to the next game, to get back playing again and playing at our level and get our minds on the playoffs, because all in all, that's what our season's about. I mean, we had our day in the sun last Sunday, but really the playoffs are what we are, you know, we set out to achieve. Now that we've got there, we've got to do our best to try and win it. I mean, I know it's going to be tough, but who knows what can happen in football, and we've got to give it our best shot. It's something we want to do, but it's going to be tough. I mean, I went to training last night, and we have got a real load of injuries, and injuries that might keep guys out for 2 or 3 weeks, which is pretty worrying. You know, we're going to be missing Ali Gilchrist, Simon Ferry, Ryan Strachan, Rory McAllister, and possibly Scott Ross added to that. So we've got a few bodies down on Saturday. But I've always said I've got a lot of faith in the squad, and the players, the players that will come in should do well. So they'll certainly get their opportunity to stake their place for the playoffs.
Joe McAnally, they are looking ahead, and it wouldn't be great if they get into the Championship. That would be some achievement.
It would be a fantastic achievement and be brilliant for this area. We've seen how the Highlands have done with Inverness and Ross County getting into the top flight and winning the Scottish Cup and the League Cup. And if we could get Peterhead up there, there's enough support there, I think, that would drive them further forward. And Cove Rangers obviously having won the Highland League, they now go into a playoff with Edinburgh City to see who will play East Stirling in the playoff, to ultimately see who's in the second division next season. Wouldn't it be magnificent if we had Cove and Peterhead making steps up? And
unlike Brora last year, they're 100% behind making that step up.
That's right. I mean, Brora, you got the impression last year that they didn't really want to go up, and they sort of stumbled through the playoff with the south side, and then when it came to playing against Montrose, they just more or less, we're not particularly bothered about whether we'll win it or not. I don't think that'll be the case with Cove. I think they are ambitious enough, they will want to go up, and you know, if they were to go up, then there's somebody has to come up from the junior level, you'd anticipate, into the Highland League. So there's going to be a lot of to-ing and fro-ing over the next couple of months.
Now, there's no doubt that the whole landscape of Scottish football, there has been a most definite shift north over the last few years, and that seems to be threatening to continue, which is great.
You wouldn't think so if you were reading the papers this week, though, would you?
Well,
the papers are all about only one thing, but you're
absolutely... Which we will mention.
We will mention, but you're spot on, Dave. I mean, the power base has moved. Maybe not the power base, but the focus of attention, I think, has moved a lot further north than it was before. And North football as a whole now is being treated with a great deal more respect than it was in the past, where, you know, if you drew a Highland League side in the Scottish Cup, for example, South sides looked at it and thought, that's a given that we're going to win that one. Having to travel away up into the frozen north, that's such an imposition on us. We shouldn't have to do that. But hey, these guys from the frozen north have come down and they've been pretty hot at top level. So it's good for football in this area, north of the Tay.
It is, of course, William Hill Scottish Cup semi-final weekend. And tomorrow, I mean, you've got two teams, both, I mean, two bomb scares basically, with no confidence between them, doing their best to implode. Hibs against Dundee United. How do you pick a winner from that one?
So difficult. I mean, toss a coin. It's simple as that. Who's going to turn up in the day? It could be a fantastic semi-final. It could be absolutely dreadful. You just don't know. I think possibly Hibs, because they've had more success this season, they've been more used to winning games than the United, but then United are playing at a higher level. I'm just going to shade it for Hibs, but I saw that there was somebody in one of the tabloids down south yesterday was saying that neither of the two should be allowed a European place if they were to win the Scottish Cup. Sorry, that's totally wrong. If you win the Scottish Cup, you get a European place. Simple as that. Cup competition is all about luck of the draw, but it's also about winning the games. And both of these sides have won the games that they've had to win to get to this stage. And if they end up winning the Cup, then they deserve the rewards at the end of it.
Yeah, but Hibs midweek, they were doing their best to Hibs it against Falkirk and succeeding.
It's a
manfully
new verb in the vocabulary,
it is,
isn't it?
And United, of course, with the Gavin Gunning incident, all is obviously not well down Tannadice way, but you do have two clubs, as I say, that you hope that tomorrow will be able to just, they can forget about their troubles for at least 90 minutes.
You'd hope so. As I say, it could be a terrific semi-final, but if the fear factor does come in there, it could be like watching paint dry for 90 minutes or 120 minutes plus penalties, whatever it goes to. I just have a wee sneaking suspicion Hibs are going to edge their way through to another cup final.
Okay, will they get any further? They haven't since 1902, remember. And on Sunday there is the game you alluded to, Celtic against Rangers, 12 o'clock kickoff. It's for me, I can't see past Celtic getting through that one, but you read the papers, everybody's been giving an opinion that's any way connected to either club this week, and there's a few people think that Rangers can do it, which to me would spell the end of Ronnie Dyla if Celtic don't get through this one.
Oh, it definitely spend the end of Ronnie Dyla, but like you, I can't see Rangers being able to live with Celtic. If Celtic play to form, or even to 80% form, I think they'll win the game. But interestingly, they haven't won a semi-final against Rangers since 1925.
No, it's
But then again, they've probably never been drawn in a semi-final since 1925, so there's no great surprise in that. But I think it'll be Celtic to win it. But
yeah,
the amount of hype there's been about the game has been quite ridiculous in some places. Yes, it's big in Glasgow. It's worldwide, it's a derby that people have heard of, but it's not as big as it used to be, and some of the stuff that has been spouted this week has been frankly shameful.
Yeah, I thought the best article was in one of the tabloids by Craig Burley, who said that if you're not a Rangers or Celtic supporter, why would you want to watch a team from the second tier of Scottish football against the worst Celtic team for many a year? But he was just earning his fee for that, I'm quite sure. So Celtic and Hibs, you reckon, to contest the final?
I think so, and Celtic to win it, which would mean that by finishing second, we start a couple of weeks later in the Europa League qualifiers.
That would be welcome, yeah. Tennis now, and the Davis Cup spent a day at Westbourne Tennis Centre as part of a countrywide tour aimed at inspiring youngsters to take up the game. Let's hear from Sport Aberdeen's tennis development manager, Matt Kerswell, after we've also heard from Tennis Scotland regional development manager, Mike Collatz.
Aberdeen's lucky enough to be part of the Davis Cup trophy tour of the UK. Several locations right across the UK, including Scotland, I've been chosen to celebrate the famous victory last year. A great opportunity for members of the public really to be part of such a great achievement, not just in tennis, but a great sporting achievement for the UK and Scotland. We did have about half the team. I feel there's a lot of demand for tennis anyway, and last year really added to that, the excitement for tennis across the country. I think the Davis Cup journey really inspires so many more people to play tennis, so we're really trying to maximise that interest and demand in tennis and bring the trophy around, keep the momentum going, and then offer as many opportunities for people to pick up a racket and keep playing it as well.
Everyone who won the Davis Cup started at a park or a club. Everyone needs to start somewhere, and there's plenty of opportunities up here to do that, so having those guys, it just kind of gives that extra push to actually go and do it. You'll struggle to find a child that doesn't know who Andy Murray is or Jamie Murray is, and that's huge for the kind of the sport in terms of, you know, wanting to go and play it over other sports. So we've seen a definite rise in the numbers of children playing over the recent years.
Davis Cup there, and good to see it in Scotland.
Good to see it at all.
Yeah,
I mean, when was it last in Britain?
79 years ago, so it's been a while.
Yeah, and it's a massive trophy.
It is.
A huge trophy, and it was a huge success, and great to see it doing the rounds. And, you know, Aberdeen's been a relative hotbed of tennis. I mean, you've done your bit to promote the game up here.
There's a lot of good kids coming out of Aberdeen just now.
Yeah.
Ross Martin, Scottish Junior Indoors Champion at 16 under level just last month, doing very well. So there is a lot going on.
Well, and I think having trophies like that, and with people that you can aspire to, like the Murray brothers, like Leon Smith, you know, it's all good that there is an affinity between Scotland and the Davis Cup. It's not an elite thing for, you know, hoity-toity people down south.
Absolutely. Juniors now in the McBookie.com Super League tomorrow. Game of the day, Banksiddy against Stonehaven at Spain Park. 2 o'clock kickoff for that one. That could determine the title. Elsewhere, picks Bankery St Tern against Everton. Dice are away to Devonside. Cooter against Bridge of Don. That's about it from Andrew and myself. Have a great weekend. See you next week.